Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Our gospel lesson for this week is Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they had found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Here ends our gospel lesson. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is a lot of pressure in America to perform, and perform well. By perform, I'm not talking about performance acting. Though if that is your profession, I'm sure there is immense pressure to draw bigger and bigger audiences all the time. The pressure to perform well bears on us in our schools, our sports, our jobs, our relationships, our social lives, everything. Messages that we must be good students, hardworking business owners or employees, and exemplary individuals at everything we attempt are lifted up as virtuous, and being the best is considered an American ideal that we should all aspire to. Work the hardest. Be the smartest. Be the most athletic. Be your best self. And many other messages of these sorts line up with how we think we should be. And if you ever find yourself coming up short on anything you do, you just have to want it more. In many ways, it makes sense that we think this way. Our capitalist system is basically a meritocracy in which it actually pays to put in more effort and ingenuity than the next person. There are a lot of rewards to be had for putting in the hours, working our tails off, and shelving all other concerns in pursuit of various goals that we can be rewarded for. Whether it is putting in the work to climb the corporate ladder, grow the biggest herd on your ranch, or being the best football player on the field, there are many incentives for us to strive harder after our goals and put in the extra effort to reach them. I do not say this to place judgments on our economic system. Americans on the whole are incredibly productive compared to citizens of other nations. But I do mean to point out that there are other aspects of our lives that are affected by the economic system that values work and ability over other things like family, home life, time off, and as important as ever these days, sick leave. All of this results in a sense of pressure to perform well in life, whether it be in our jobs, our relationships, our studies, or whatever else, in order for our lives to have value and worth. Not only is a job something that one does to pay the bills, it can be something by which Americans measure the value of their entire existence. Do your job well, and your life has significance and meaning. Do your job poorly, and you might as well throw in the towel on life itself. Want to go to college one day? You better keep your grades up participate in every activity imaginable, and be an all-star at everything you attempt while you are at it. Want to be a successful adult? Work like the Dickens. Be the smartest and most capable at whatever you attempt. Take the right risks. And if you come up short, work, work, and work harder, and then work some more. Do more in order to be more is a message that is communicated across our culture, starting with our economic system, but extending far beyond that to very detailed aspects of our lives. It can be quite daunting when it comes to how we view our own worth and value. I share this reflection of the world we inhabit and its expectations of us to say that we often put this kind of thinking onto our relationship with God. I've often heard phrases like, "You need to get right with God," as though that is something that we are even capable of doing. Others say things like, "I just need to pray more. They are a good person. They will go to heaven. I have a lot of faith, so God will bless me." All of these ways of thinking describe a performance-based faith and relationship with God. While this may seem appealing to some, when you look beneath the hood, so to speak, you will find that it is terribly unsettling to think that we have to make ourselves right with God somehow, or do anything to earn back God's favor and love. The sin that lives within us is wholly corrupting and will always turn us away from living in right relationship with God, no matter how much faith we have, and we can do nothing by our own strength, will, or ability to make it otherwise. It is only by the intervention of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross to make us right with our Creator that we have any hope of having our relationship with God being restored. We are eternally incapable of earning God's grace and favor, or anything to that effect, since only God can make us whole again. Our parable for this week is about how the kingdom of heaven is a place where the incapable are invited in without any need to perform well in order to make the cut. The parable centers around a wedding that a king was throwing for his son. Now, this was a grand affair in the ancient Middle East, as this event was about passing on the king's rule as much as two people binding their lives together through marriage. The children born of the union would carry on the king's monarchy, so those invited were not only asked to celebrate the couple getting married, but also to celebrate the future of the kingdom itself. For the invitation list of this most important event, the king first reached out to those who performed well in the world, those with farms and businesses, power and influence. These invitees, who were esteemed by the world, men of value and means, then snubbed the king and rejected his invite by ignoring the invitation or outright killing the messengers who brought it to them. These men who had made something of themselves were looked upon as men of substance by others, and were men whom the king and his son could boast were in attendance at the wedding, proved that they thought more highly of themselves than their king who was calling on them. In response, the king was enraged and ordered that soldiers be sent to destroy these murderers and burn their city. The wedding was not going to be called off, though, and especially not on account of the rudeness of those who had once been considered the best. The wedding was still going to happen, but now, at least at this moment in the story, there were hardly any guests in attendance. So the king said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." The slaves then went out and invited all whom they found, both good and bad, and invited them to the esteemed wedding of their future king. Though they were believed to be unworthy of such an honor in ancient society, the king made a universal invitation to all that they honor his son with their presence. They were the worst of the worst, the lowest of the low, the least of the least, and they would be seated right next to the king's son at his wedding banquet. The kingdom of heaven is a strangely welcoming place indeed. Still, one of the guests dishonored the king in a new way. He did not wear his wedding best. Though the king reached out to the masses of society that were likely unable to afford decent clothes for even daily wear, let alone special clothing for special events that they were never welcome to attend until now, the king still took this as a major slight. It may seem a little fickle, but in response to the man's shabby attire, the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." While the rich, powerful, and able had rejected the wedding invite one way, this man had dishonored the event by treating it as though it were nothing sacred or special. He was disrespected and cast out in return, and was considered one who was not chosen out of the many who are called. This is an alluring and powerful parable that can also be very daunting. What assurances are there that we will be chosen from among the called? How do we refrain from the performance-based, self-indulgent sins of the rich and the powerful who rejected the honorable invite of the king? And what does it mean for us to wear the proverbial wedding robe in the kingdom of heaven instead of the shabby clothes that will get us kicked out? The invite was shared with everyone, both good and bad. But what does it mean if that invite could be rescinded? While these questions linger at the edges of this parable, we can be reassured that our invite to the wedding feast in the kingdom of heaven is only ours to reject. We do not have to earn our place around the king's table. It is secure through the Son himself. Through our baptisms and our commitment to faith in Christ Jesus, God claims us through no effort of our own. We are called from the streets and gutters of this world, the back alleys and dark places of our lives, to be welcomed into the heavenly banquet. Unlike our world, which expects us to make our own way, take care of ourselves, and work our tails off to carve out a place in our nation, God extends to us an invite into the kingdom of heaven that is only ours to reject. Our place is secure, and God means to honor us at the eternal celebration of the Son. Some of us may, unfortunately, choose to reject the grace that has been offered to us, but it is God's intention that all be welcomed to that celestial feast, the feast where the pressure to be the best will give way to the glory of the One who was, who is, and always will be the greatest among us. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.